Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Corey Whitlock Podcast Show.
When I've been down and a down is up, when your half full glass looks like a half in the cup, when you're running into dentists and everywhere you turn,
well, I hate to say it, we're going to be talking about how many of y'all girls, boys, collect dolls. Yeah, dolls. They got all kinds of dolls on eBay. They even got a President Obama doll, President Bush doll, a G.I. Joe 6-foot doll. Those kind of dolls, just like the big dolls or Barbie and all. How many of y'all boys used to collect them and still do collect them? G.I. Joe military collection dolls. How many of y'all still play with them? And in the future, do you think if we can't get along with Russia and North Korea and China, do you think in the future, if we be invaded, will we be able to get along with our outer space friends? If we can't get along here on Earth, do you think we can get along with the people who might be coming from outer space, coming to visit us? Are they coming? Believe me, they know about Earth and they coming. I hope they take over. And if they do take over and make us slaves, will you like it if it's good and fair and take over our government, all the governments, and make life simple for us and show the governments and the people of those governments how to treat people? I mean, take over the whole world. Take over the Earth. And make it better. Show us how to make it better. Will you like that? I mean, we have to be slaves and everything. I mean, not beat on us and stuff and kill us. But we have to be slaves to listen to them. But they got the medicine to cure cancer. They got the medicine to clear drug addiction. They got the medicine to clear every disease that man got, including COVID-19. But will you really want to go over there? Will you go on a rudder and be under their control? Something like China and North Korea and Russia got control of their people. But nothing like that, though. More better than that. You have your freedom. You still have your democracy. You still can vote. But they come with their rules and their wishcoms and stuff. And you break their laws, you get punished. I mean, punished. Not put in jail for 18 months for killing somebody, for killing a kid, and you get out. 20 years later, you get out for killing the kid. And those parents are still grieving. You out on bail, or you out after 20 years. I mean, they come and make new laws. If you kill somebody, just like back in the day, if you kill somebody, you get hanged. You get put up in space. They make a prison in space. They make it like a jail a big space station jail where you will never come down. And this was for all people, including Putin and the president of China and North Korea. They start a war with anybody, they will have to step down or get knocked down by our new friends. I don't know. I just got a brain freeze just thinking about that. You know, they come, take over the world, they cure all our diseases, take care of us, show us how to build spaceships and stuff, if we're good to each other. All the prejudice stop. All the love start beginning. But it's a price to pay. You know, you gotta live under their umbrella. You gotta do what they say and stuff like that. Money's still the same. The economy's still the same. But all nations is working as one. And your new bosses is out of this world bosses. They go set up camp on Mars and the moon and watch us and babysit us. They don't live down here with us, but they come down here to help us. But one thing, you only got one chance. If you kill somebody, they take you out. Especially you kill a kid. You do drugs. You in some kind of game. And you have guns, illegal guns and stuff. You wipe out. All gangs is wipe out. All gangs around the world and around the United States is gone. They come, eliminate the gangs. That would be cool, so cool. All child molesters, people who rape women, men who beat on women and rape women, gone. In prison, forever. There's no bail or no getting out. Once you do that, all your rights is gone. Gone. Whole new law of the land for everyone. Wouldn't that be cool? I think so. I think the system need to be changed. I think so. And hopefully our new friends that is coming from another world, they is coming. I believe they are on their way to make some changes. I think order for the balance of the universe in the galaxy, Earth has to be balanced too, and we not. So people from other worlds is coming. Either we get it together or they taking over. It's coming. And I think it's coming. And first thing they're going to hit is America, China, and Russia, and North Korea. First thing they're going to take away is those damn nuclear weapons. They're going to just going to reach up, and all the nuclear weapons of the world going to fly right into space and shoot right out into main space and blow up. They're going to have that technology where they can whoop speed faster than light all the nuclear weapons. Then they're going to take Russia president, North Korea president, and China president. They're going to lift them up, and they're going to prosecute them at the highest land of the universe. And some of the people here on Earth, the white nations, the white supremacy groups, the hate groups, black and white, they're going to read your mind, see you, what you like and everything, who you like, what you did, you're going to go right up there in jail. Or you can get prosecuted. That would be cool. Listen to some music, people. Just think about that.
Whenever you're down, out in the cold, faithless and dark, your story's untold. Come take my hand and walk there with me. I know a place where we can be free. There is a light shining for you, guiding your way, helping you through. And shadows and gloom are all that you see. We'll find a place where we can be free. From the mountaintop down to the deep.
Well, I gotta tell you, I would love it. No, I would love it. And that's the only way to make things right and get the system right. Yeah, I would do what they tell me to do. I would be under their command and all. And they down here to help us. And you only get like one or two chances, and then your second chance is bye-bye. It ain't like the laws that we got now. You see somebody get killed, police go around asking people who did it. They just standing there looking stupid. Two dead bodies on the street. 14, 8 years old, but you ain't seen nothing. Parents just lost their kids, but you didn't see nothing. Yeah, I think the system need to be changed by another species. Because man don't deserve Earth. How many of y'all out there did think today we deserve this planet? How many? Do y'all really think we deserve this planet? I mean, everybody is at fault. Look what we're doing to it. Look how beautiful it was back in the day, in the 1800s and 1700s, 1600s, when they first came here and everything. We had trees growing on top of mountains and stuff. We had, the land was so beautiful back during the Western days and other time. I hate to say it, during the Christopher Columbus time, even when he came here, but diseases and chaos and all, the land was beautiful. It was said by one Indian, come as you go, come as you want, but leave the land as you found it. But Columbus didn't do it. He brought chaos, drama, killed, murder, disease. Then years later, 1492, right after that, 1692, slavery. White man went to another land and stole some people. And the Bible said, do not go to another land and steal people out that land. But America did it. Don't you think we need some changes? Yeah. Anytime you see a bunch of children on the news fighting and then one get killed and then everybody start running. Bunch of kids. Little boy died this week. Last Wednesday and Thursday. One of those days. I know y'all saw the news. I know you saw the news. Don't know what to say. Maybe some music will make you think about it. Born in grace. Born in grace, you know. If you understand this music. I'm talking to some of y'all young children. I don't think y'all probably understand this music. You sure understand the... You understand that music, but you don't understand this one.
In a night.
we was. We was. And this sound about that, the lyrics of the song. The people who died for our land, they gave us what we need, we got. The forefathers who posted wrote the law of the land. It's a lot of questions, and I got. I mean, a lot of questions. You know, if they was really Christians, and by God, the forefathers and the people who built this land and wrote in the Bill of Rights and stuff like that, they should have eliminated slavery at that time. My opinion. I don't know about y'all's. But they should have eliminated it that time. But the forefathers, they had slaves too. Listen to this. They picking on Disney Plus.
This is probably pretty predictable. Is it Marvel fatigue? People upset over Star Wars? Well, the more you look into it, the more complicated this answer becomes. And most importantly, it shows some of the growing problems facing these large streaming services going forward. Not just Disney Plus. So that's what I want to discuss this week. And sorry if my audio is a little weird. I am recording from the road, but I really just wanted to get into it. So one thing that needs to be mentioned right near the start here is that the biggest reason for this sudden drop in Disney Plus subscribers had nothing to do with superheroes or lightsabers, but sports. Late last year, Disney Plus lost the rights to the Indian Premier League, the biggest cricket league in India, and something that had been a massive driver of growth for them. Now, I've never actually watched cricket, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on it, or the nation of India for that matter, but it's clear that losing this hugely popular league did lead to an outsized drop in subscribers in the country and in Southeast Asia in general. So when looking at that staggering drop in subscribers, it does really have to be acknowledged. But that also doesn't mean that everything would be going fantastic if it weren't for cricket. And here's where we get to a lot of issues with streaming that aren't just unique to Disney+. One of the looming issues is pretty simple. These big streamers are no longer the exciting upstarts that they once seemed to be. In the early 2010s, and maybe even until a few years ago, streaming felt like a pretty unbeatable deal. It was often ad-free and much cheaper than cable. And the libraries were pretty impressive too, with all sorts of studios and distributors filling Netflix's catalog, and at least in the US, multiple TV networks and cable channels putting their shows up on Hulu. Back then, it really felt like it was possible that anything could wind up on those services. Today, that model has changed completely. The early 2010s dream of almost everything the average person would want to watch being in one place is long dead. And there's probably no better example of that than Disney Plus itself. Instead of being a big, broad service that has something for everyone, it really specializes in a few of Disney's big brands, especially when it comes to producing originals, which heavily rely on Marvel and Star Wars. And even many of their productions outside of those rely on old Disney IP, from High School Musical to the Proud Family revival. Now, this is a little less the case outside of the US, where Hulu barely exists and tons of like FX shows are accessible through the service, a bunch of movies, but it's pretty safe to say that the big brands are its bread and butter. And they're hardly alone in that. Look at a service like Paramount Plus, which has really doubled down on Star Trek and Yellowstone. Maybe more than any of the others, those two seem laser-focused on a few of their biggest properties. It's an understandable strategy, as big brand names like this can cut through the constant noise and actually get some attention, something it's increasingly difficult for new shows to do. But it also comes with a pretty big downside. Like, sorry to state the obvious here, but the MCU and Star Wars are known as film franchises first and foremost, and any shows that they make in those universes at least have to try to reach some kind of movie-level visuals. Modern Star Trek also seems dead set on looking a lot more like the J.J. Abrams movies than the old shows. And what all of that adds up to is fairly short but very expensive television. The days of Star Trek The Next Generation or Enterprise running for over 20 weeks a year is very far behind us. Instead, a show like Star Trek Strange New Worlds will run for 10 episodes, and some Star Wars shows, like The Mandalorian Season 3, is only managing 8. And after those very short windows, many subscribers are more than happy to save some money and cancel the service until next season. All of that builds into a problem that haunts almost all of these services, from Disney Plus to Netflix to Peacock and basically everyone else, subscriber churn. Where 10 years ago, many would be happy to just keep their Netflix subscriptions year-round, the sheer amount of big streaming services has encouraged more of a revolving door approach. As subscribers sign up, watch the thing they wanted, and then
people, that's true, ain't it? You see your favorite shows, and after next season, after gone. You wait till the next season, right? You cancel your subscription. I do. Discovery is gone, so I'm canceling my Paramount Plus subscription. The flagship show of Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery.
And of course, almost all of these big services
is gone.
Paramount. Disney Plus well over $1 billion in losses last year.
Wow.
Now, that was always part of the plan.
Picard is ready to leave, so I'm ready to cancel my subscription. I'm already did cancel my subscription.
Universal's Peacock, which is still struggling to gain subscribers. But it does seem like the days of these companies being okay with stomaching massive losses is quickly coming to an end, with many of them, including Disney+, having to resort to mass layoffs. Basically, with streaming services on this scale, there's one massive problem that they can't get around. In the words of a consulting service quoted by The Hollywood Reporter, gone are the revenues enjoyed during the cable TV era, which formally approached those of the global energy sector. By some estimates, streaming generates 1/6 as much revenue per home as pay TV. In addition, audiences are fragmented, canceling subscriptions is easy, content has only become more expensive to acquire and produce. I think that, more than anything, is what lies at the heart of Disney Plus's problems. As easy as it would be to narrow things down to the MCU Phase 4 being a disappointment, or the Boba Fett show being terrible or whatever, the issue with the service is just so much bigger than any of that. It's that the Netflix model, The model that services like Disney Plus grew out of just isn't a profitable one, especially when so many are attempting it. To quote that article one more time, rather than being the new sliced bread, investors and executives have accepted that streaming is, in fact, not a good business, at least not compared to what came before. A common complaint I hear is that these large streaming services are becoming more and more like cable, and there's a pretty good reason for that. Cable television actually made money. If you want to read the whole thing, I'll leave a link to that article down below in the description.
Wow.
But where does that leave the future of Disney Plus? Well, obviously, I can really only guess, but I do think we have some indications. Since its inception, in the US at least, advertising has been the financial backbone of TV. Ad tiers are already popping up everywhere, with even Disney Plus and Netflix starting to add them, something that would have been unthinkable just a few years ago. I know many people won't be thrilled to hear this, but I really do think that the future of streaming looks a lot like the past of cable TV, but maybe with a lot more modern convenience. Just look at the rise of services like Pluto TV and Amazon's Freevee. These are known as free, ad-supported streaming television, or FAST services. These function a lot like older TV, even to the point of having linear channels that play on them live with ad breaks, in addition to having a lot of shows and movies on demand. They're far cheaper to run than the Disney Pluses of the world, with many of them, like Pluto TV, not even creating originals. Where services like Disney Plus and Netflix count on flashy and expensive new shows to garner eyeballs and attention, most of these FAST services have been far more conservative with spending, relying on linear channels that play old favorites like Frasier, CSI, and Doctor Who. The classic shows and familiar, cable-like setup are attractive to older viewers, while the fact that it's free attracts a lot of cash-strapped young people. I'm not saying that FAST services are some streaming silver bullet, and I'm pretty sure that many will prefer paying for a streaming service over them, but I do think we're going to see things like Fox's Tubi continue to grow and do better than, say, NBC Universal's Peacock. And I wouldn't be surprised if Freevee becomes a more and more important part of Amazon's streaming business, while spending on Prime shows goes down. As for Disney, they don't have a FAST service to call their own, at least not yet. But with their massive libraries of ABC, ESPN, and of course Marvel and Star Wars and Pixar, I wouldn't be surprised to see them dip their toe into this kind of service soon. Whatever happens, I'd be pretty shocked if the Disney streaming service of 2026 looks all that much like Disney Plus does now. Because what these big streaming services are doing now just isn't working. Losing billions of dollars was acceptable when streaming television was the exciting far-off future. But now, it's the mundane present. I think the free ride is kind of over. To become profitable, these services may have to embrace looking a lot more like cable in 2007, and a lot less like present-day Netflix. But how that will work out is anybody's guess. So, I may have some issues with TV on the internet, but learning online has never been better, thanks to things like Calculus in a Nutshell on Brilliant. It may sound intimidating, but this course actually starts with concrete and simple examples and helps you build your calculus skills from there. It's really never too late to build your base of knowledge in STEM skills, whether it's for a future job down the line or for the sheer pleasure of learning, all built around your own schedule. That's where Brilliant shines, helping you tackle math, computer science, and science concepts in a highly interactive way. There's thousands of lessons here, with new ones being added constantly, and spending just 30 minutes or so a day on them is both fun and builds our skills, without any of the stress that you might remember associating with a lot of these topics. Plus, with Brilliant, you can really learn and dig into this stuff without breaking the bank or taking out some giant loan. So go to brilliant.org/midnight and get a 30-day free trial. And also, the first 200 people to go to that link will get 20% off the annual premium subscription.
Here's a special tip for the fellas and girls who have not already joined Captain Midnight's new 1940 Flight Patrol. You'd better hurry up and join at once, because there's a big adventure ahead. The thing to do now is to get started, because we're going to have not only barrels of fun, but loads of free gifts and prizes.
So people, wow, Disney, Netflix, and all of them is becoming the modern day cable. Wow, I knew it was coming to that. I just knew it was coming to that. Let's get back to the music. Father. Well, seconds, as you see that little video that I had for you about the streaming services, and I know some of y'all probably have some questions now about it. I mean, how many of y'all still have Netflix? Netflix used to be $7 to $6. Now it's the same price of going to the movies. Why? Don't it supposed to be down? Unbelievable, people. And do you think the streaming services is like cable now? And do you watch Pluto and free TV on Amazon free TV? And do you watch Pluto TV because of the commercials and all? And the other free networks, streaming services. Do y'all watch those? And when your favorite TV shows come back on, do you go subscribe to Disney Plus and this Paramount Plus? Cause it ain't like back in the days we used to get. They used to go off the air during the summer and come back during the fall. Now we only get like 8 episodes, 9 episodes, 10 episodes on these streaming services. And like the guy said, Star Trek looked more like a J.J. Evans film. Star Trek Strange New Worlds looked just like Star Trek, the reboot. Look at the bridge. Look at the bridge of the Strange New Worlds Enterprise. It looked just like the J.J. movie. They try to make it, spread it around, but it looked just like that. And they talk about Discovery Bridge in mind. But it don't look nothing like the 1960 bridge. Go look at the old Star Trek, the cage. And the original Kirk Bridge. And they so excited, overrated this Strange New Worlds. But you can't like Discovery. Discovery went 900 years into the future started a new era of Star Trek. And you get on YouTube, oh, Discovery failed. Discovery did not fail. Discovery brought back Star Trek. Discovery is the flag show of Star Trek. Point. You can't change that. You're not going to change. I don't care what you say, what you do, whatever you say, what argue you write. You're not going to change that. It brought back Star Trek. Captain Michael Burton is one of the best captains in Starfleet. She took her ship 900 years in the future. And she's making history there. Stop making these stupid videos on YouTube. Discovery failed. Discovery, we sorry. You're not the flagship no more. That's a lie. And I hope the Star Trek fans who wrote that hear me. Sorry, people. Sorry, non-Star Trek fans. But let's get back to the question earlier. Will you let an alien race take over your freedom if it give you free medicine, cure all our diseases, make us more free, make us more lovable, and show us how to grow as human beings? Will you like that? But the cost is deadly, because you only get 2 strikes. No more breaks like probation. No more getting out in jail 20, 25 years for killing little kids or killing somebody or something. You in jail for life. You go up to a big space station and that's your home for the rest of your life. They will build that for you. Or you go on Mars and they have a jail for you on Mars. And you try to run away without your protection suit, you'll die. You know? And they changed the whole world. Took nuclear weapons away. And showed the evil nations how to love. Will you love something like that? I think I can live with something like that. Up to you. We'll be right back. something like that, you know. I know it would be tough.
Looks like we might now have confirmation of the new Star Wars film coming from Lucasfilm. There's been lots of speculation surrounding the new film, and it looks like insider sources have indeed got the inside scoop on what's going on. According to insider Jeff Snyder, who was on the Hot Mic podcast, he said that the next Star Wars film is going to be the Damon Lindelof movie, 100%. He said it's the one coming out in December, and he said it's 100 million% that it's going to be the film. And by all accounts, the script is actually finished, and they've got a director attached, Charmin Obaid-Chinoy, who directed 2 episodes of Miss Marvel for Disney Plus. As we know, Lucasfilm has had difficulty getting a new Star Wars film up and running ever since the rise of Palpatine. I mean, the rise of Skywalker. And Bob Iger himself has recently said that due to the poor performance of Solo, they've put a pause on the number of Star Wars films that are being released, and that they're going to be treating the franchise more carefully from now on. Which means it's a very interesting choice to hire Damon Lindelof.
A new Star Wars movie coming. Star Wars film. Listen, y'all listen to this.
Otherwise, Lucasfilm are probably in a lot of trouble. So Damon Lindelof is a very interesting choice. For those that know, Damon Lindelof wrote such films as Prometheus, the Alien prequel, and Lost. So we have a screenwriter who likes to write stories of mythology that really aren't all that coherent, and then he likes to have shows that don't really have endings, and then infuse the shows with all of these signs and symbols pointing to an epic conclusion, and then doesn't really have a conclusion, and then everyone says that it's the audience's fault for reading too much into it. Some people liked Prometheus, and some people didn't. Same with Lost. A lot of people liked Lost when the show was running, but then there were an awful lot of people who were very disappointed by the ending of the show, because it never really had a conclusion. It didn't really go anywhere. And the problem with Lucasfilm is that they keep announcing projects, then they keep hiring the writers and directors and cancelling projects. This seems to be a recurring theme constantly with Lucasfilm. Just the constant hiring and firing and announcing and cancelling of movies and projects. So we'll have to see how this Damon Lindelof situation pans out. And as I said, it's an interesting choice, having the writer of Prometheus and Lost and having the director of 2 Miss Marvel episodes. Sounds like it's a really good fit for Lucasfilm, actually. A garbled storyline with no conclusion. Further speculation was swirling around Daisy Ridley returning to the role of Rey when she initially posted an Instagram post taking a photo of the Yoda statue at Lucasfilm. Then she just posted that it was simply lunch and there was nothing to be read into it. Although a lot of reports since have been swirling around that she's been lined up for either a new movie or a new TV show. Seems most likely a new movie, whether this is the new Damon Lindelof film or not. Nobody quite knows at the moment. I'm sure all will be revealed at Star Wars Celebration on April 7th. Thanks for watching.
So, he didn't break it down that much. I mean, he just gave, just stole pieces out there about the new Star Wars movie and everything. And a lot of that I didn't understand either, so bear with me, people. I know. I really know. I mean, some of these YouTubers, they just, on YouTube, just cause chaos, you know. And I just stopped watching some of the Star Trek YouTubers and start making my own Star Trek YouTube channel, you know, and giving credit where credit is due, you know. That's how I do Star Trek and Star Wars. Now, the last 3 movies of Star Wars wasn't bad. Don't listen to the fans and the audience. It wasn't bad. It was a little difficult and stuff, but it was a Star Wars movie. It was a science fiction movie. It was hard to pit 3 new characters and build those characters after legend characters. Like Leia and Luke and Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2. Those are legend characters, and Darth Vader, and on. Legendary characters. Lando Calrissian, and all. Legendary characters, and George Lucas didn't really want to do 7, 8, and 9. He wrote all the way up to 9, but he did 6. He wrote, he wanted to do 6 movies. He did the first 4, 5, and 6 with a golden legend, a golden legend classic as his own. And then he came back and did 1, 2, and 3. Audience really built that too, but now they like it. They didn't like it at first, now they like it. You know? Either you like it or you don't like it. And then they came back, and after he sold Star Wars to Disney, they did 7, 8, and 9. What George Lucas, I don't think George Lucas wanted to do 7, 8, and 9. But they came back and did it. And to me, I think they rushed it. I think they actually rushed it too much. They should have sat down, did a lot of meetings with George Lucas and the old people who did Star Wars. The original people who did Star Wars. Sit down with those people. And sit down with the new people. And discuss this. You know. And mix the old and the new up. And have them helping the new people. If they would have did that. Brought back all the old people who did the original Star Wars. The directors. The producers. And all. Brought them back. And mix them up with the new people. And also the writers. You know, George Lucas had help writing Star Wars, you know. He probably had some ghostwriters help writing the strip. He wrote the strip, and then some ghostwriters rewrite it. You know, never know. But anyway, and I think it would have been a better movie. It was good on my part, too. I could feel what the Star Wars fans were feeling. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, all came back. Even R2-D2 and C-3PO all came back. But they wasn't in it. They wasn't that much in it. We didn't see Luke Skywalker did anything. Or Leia or Han working together again. They was out of scenes. They did their own scenes. They wasn't together. I thought The Force Awakens, all four of them, all of them going to be together again. Going on another adventure. Luke, Han, Leia. That's what I thought. That's what my disappointment was of the movie. When they first sold the production, you seen them all sitting down together in a picture. When they first announced it, they took a picture of all the cast, the new cast and the old cast. You see the picture, I got the picture on the computer. And you see them sitting down with J.J. Abrams. All sitting down, talking. We don't know what they was talking, but it's a picture. And everybody, I really think everybody thought that Luke, Han, and Princess Leia and Chewbacca was going to be together. I think that's why the 96% of the fans was upset. Because we didn't get Luke. We didn't get Princess Leia. Or we didn't get Han. Working together. Luke was never in the first movie. He was in the ending of the movie. The ending. Leia was in and off. Han was mostly in halfway of the movie. Then they killed him. So, I don't know about the Star Wars and Star Trek days, how many of y'all think Star Wars and Star Trek is dying because of the fans and because the new people is writing and stuff? I do. It's mostly because the fans going on YouTube fussing, didn't like this, didn't like that, didn't like this. Mad because Spock got a sister and she beautiful and black. Or mad because we didn't get that much of Leia and Han in the movie. It probably was very expensive to have them all on screen. Maybe that was the problem. The budget. The budget wasn't big enough to have them all on screen together. Who knows what the problem was? You know? But it was a Star Wars movie. And Star Trek TV show. So what? Spock got a big sister. He had a brother in Star Trek V. I don't get it. I never gonna get it. That's why I'm going over to Amazon and I'm gonna be a Fallout fan. And I'll see Strange New Worlds in reruns. And I'll catch up on some new Star Trek series if they put them out. We'll see how fast the fans kill Star Trek. Because they don't get their way. And this new Star Wars movie, we'll see how fast they kill Star Wars too. Because I think the fans is the one killing the franchise. They crying over spilt milk. They ain't enjoying the entertainment. They just fussing over what they want. Remember the president that we had for 4 years? Always crying, yelling, acting stupid. Made those people go raid the Capitol. A bunch of hillbillies. Messed up trailer parts. Low budget food stamps. People who raided the trailer, raided the Capitol. That's all they was, welfare recipients. Only thing is, they was white. Living trailer parts. This is Corey Willock Show. I tell the truth. It's amazing.
Don't prove me wrong, prove you right. Don't prove me wrong, prove you right. My word is bond.
Sorry, people, gotta go. Thank you for joining me. Live long and prosper. May the force of God be with you. And Ashley, we love you.